Very much, Ebba. It's really a delight to be here on my very first trip to Australia. I just wish I could stay longer because I can see it's a beautiful place. I'll just have to come back. Let me just try to find my... Oh, thank you. Here we go. Let's get this PowerPoint up. Okay. I'm delighted to be your keynote speaker today. So the topic of this part of my address is the overall topic of the conference, Beyond the OPAC, Future Directions for Web-Based Catalogs. And for anyone who wants to contact me afterwards, here's a little bit of contact information. This is a brief outline of what I want to cover this morning in the keynote part of my presentation. I want to start by doing a hypothetical, what I'm calling a hypothetical user study that compares Google with the catalog, since that seems to be the hot topic these days in our field, and then move on to remind ourselves what we have always said we wanted catalogs to do, and then look at some of the things that we can do now in current OPACs to meet those objectives of the catalog, and look at some, what I think are some problematic misconceptions by system designers up until this point, some misconceptions about the nature of the catalog. Next, I want to start looking at, I've already looked at some of the things you can do now, but I have lots of ideas about things that we could change, so I want to move on to things that we could change about the way we index our records, about the way we display our records, and some things that perhaps we should consider changing about cataloging practice, since the rules are under revision. This is an optimum time to talk about some of those things. And maybe even some things we could change about Mark 21 that might help with some of these problems. So let's start out with this hypothetical user study. If you do a search for a known work, using variants on the author's name and the title in Google, if you do a search on Clemens and Tom Sawyer in Google, and then you compare that to a search on Twain and Adventures of Tom Sawyer in Google, you get completely different results. And the association of the two names, Clemens and Twain, is completely dependent on whether they happen to co-occur in a given website or document. In other words, no one is doing anything to make sure that you get the same results, even though you're looking for the same work two different ways. And if you do the same thing in an online public access catalog, you're still going to have some difficulties if you try searching on Clemens instead of Twain. If you know what you're doing, you will find some direction, and you can eventually determine the work heading. But our OPACs are still not doing the best possible job of helping you find the way we have named this work, the work heading in the catalog. But once you find it, you have perfect precision and recall. You get all the expressions of the work that are in the catalog. And you don't get anything extraneous. If we look at a subject search, if you do a Google search on power, there's no suggestion here that power is a term that's used many different ways in many different disciplines. If you do a search on subject headings in an online public access catalog, you will see that you'll be asked to make some decisions about whether your interest in power is one of, you'll have to decide what discipline you're interested in. So you might be interested in power as discussed in Christian theology, or you might be interested in power as mechanics, power as used by people in the field of mechanics, or power as used in the discipline of philosophy, or power as used in the discipline of social sciences. Once you've decided which kind of power you're interested in, again, you get perfect precision and recall. So the user is given the power to decide and then gets a narrow scoped result. If you do a Google search on neoplasms, there's no suggestion that in addition to these 7 million results, there will be lots more useful information found under cancer. The search under cancer produces completely different results, 547 million of them. In a single lifetime, could anyone view all of these 547 million results displayed as they are in no discernible order, with no compression and no breakdown as to subtopic? But wait, look up at the top of the screen. Under refine results for cancer, apparently Google has decided that human intervention for information organization is the solution to the problems that users are having with this overwhelming number of results, at the same time that prominent and powerful members of our profession have decided that they don't need to pay for it because we have Google. Apparently, I did some investigating, but apparently Google is asking for volunteers to sort through these millions of results and categorize them as to whether they're about treatment or symptoms or test diagnosis or causes, risk factors. I don't know how many volunteers they've gotten or how far they'll get with the 547 million results here, but they clearly seem to perceive a problem. So let's look at what the OPAC does. We have the somewhat confusing situation of one set of subject headings, the medical subject headings, which use the term neoplasms, and another set of subject headings which use the term cancer. But we do have see also references to lead users back and forth between them. And we have the situation where we've got our headings broken down by subtopics with very good precision and recall so that people can focus in on what aspect of this topic they're interested in. If we look under cancer, we'll find, again, that we're finding things under both headings because we've got two different subject heading lists, but things are broken down by subtopics. For example, cancer-chemotherapy or cancer-China. And then we have cross-references that are linking cancer and neoplasms. So my question is, if people were given the choice between Google and a catalog, which one would they really choose? If we did a user study and showed these differences to people, which one would they say that they preferred? Gratification is even more instant, and we're constantly hearing people want instant gratification. Gratification is even more instant if you're provided with perfect precision, only what you want, and perfect recall, everything that you want, and a good catalog does provide that. So in my opinion, I think that the obvious superior choice when you're showed that kind of comparison is that the catalog is a kind of Mercedes. It's expensive. Everyone wants it, but it's expensive, so not everyone can have it. But libraries, archives, and museums have, up until now, paid for the Mercedes. They're in danger of losing it, though, if they merge their currently existing catalog records with various kinds of metadata that lack controlled vocabulary, work identification, and authority control. Once you merge the data, you continue to have very expensive data, but at that point it does no more than Google does. I might also point out that current OPAC interfaces bury the bibliographic power I just demonstrated on advanced search screens where few users can find it, rather than making it available to users in default searches. And that's something you're going to hear from me more about as we go along. Let's remind ourselves what catalogs should be doing. And we've been saying this for over 100 years and getting close to 200 years, that catalogs should enable a person. This goes back to Cutter in the 19th century, who said that catalogs should enable a person to find a book of which either the author, the title, or the subject is known, to show what the library has by a given author, on a given subject, or in a given kind of literature, and to assist in the choice of a book as to its edition bibliographically and as to its character, literary or topical. The Paris Principles, which were adopted internationally in 1961, did not include subject anymore the way Cutter did, but they were adopted internationally, And in many ways, Ferber is simply a restatement of the Paris principles, although Ferber differentiates expression from manifestation, while the Paris principles aimed at an expression-based record, which I think is really the intent behind the term addition, but did not distinguish between expression and manifestation. And frankly, what cataloger can be confident in all cases that he or she can do so either? That's been one of the problematic areas with Ferber. Excuse me, my voice is a little bit wobbly, so I'm going to be sipping at some hot water from time to time. So here are some things that, these are Martha Yee recommendations, and they may not be ones that everyone would agree with, but here are some things that I think that you can do now to at least improve the service that our catalogs give to users. One of them is to put the best possible default search on the initial search screen for these three things, which I think user studies have shown over and over are the three most common searches that people do. The best possible default search for a known work of which both the author and the title are known. The best possible default search for the works of an author or other person or body. And the best possible default search for works on a subject. And I think that most current catalogs will let you, they may not let you choose what you would consider to be the best default search, but they will let you choose the best one that is provided and put it on the initial search screen. So this is the kind of rough idea of what I think an initial search screen should look like. What are you looking for? Please choose one of the following. A work of which the author and or title are known, works about a particular subject, works of a particular person or body, institution, society, etc., proceedings of a conference, and other for people who aren't falling into these usual pots. And when a user chooses a work of which the author and or title are known, I think most existing systems, in fact, I think all of them, but if anyone knows of one of which this isn't true, please let me know. The best you can do is to offer a keyword search of bibliographic records. Unfortunately, that means they're not searching authority records, which means they're not getting variants of the author name or variants of the title. But if you want to let them search by both author and title, this is about all you're allowed to do in current systems. When the user chooses works about a particular subject, I strongly urge, and I don't think systems are doing this yet, they're tending to push people toward keyword searches rather than heading searches. But to me, the best possible default search is a heading search of authority records, but a new kind of search that in Voyager, which is the system I know the best, so that I think you're going to find a certain bias toward Voyager in much of what I say today about existing systems because I'm less familiar with others. Voyager is about to offer what we at UCLA have called for years a keyword and heading search. In other words, it's a keyword search, so people don't have to know the order of terms. If they put in more than one keyword, the match is going to be in any order, but it matches on headings instead of matching on bibliographic records, which is the only kind of keyword search we've seen up until now. It matches on headings, and it displays matched headings, not going straight to a bibliographic record display. If you let people who are doing subject searching have a keyword and heading search, because you're searching authority records, they can match on cross-references. Because it's a keyword and heading search, they don't have to know the entry terms, and that is often where people go astray with systems like Library of Congress subject headings or MeSH. They don't need to understand geographic or topical subdivision because they can match on things that are inside heading constructed headings. For example, they need to understand less about history headings entered under geographic names, although they're still better off if they're doing history searching if they know something about our constructions. And they need not know that the geographic aspect of a subject is usually buried after the entry terms if their primary interest is geographic. So there are a lot of reasons why a keyword and heading search, but a search on cross-references is the best default search for subject access. For the works of a particular person or body, again, I think a keyword and heading search of authority records, which at least in Voyager is supposed to be available soon, is the best possible default. It matches on cross-references in authority records. Users don't have to learn to invert names, and lots of user studies have shown that people come to grief on that. They don't realize that they're searching something like a telephone directory when they've got a little search box in front of them, so they put the name in natural order instead of inverted order, and it fails in a left-to-right heading search. They don't need to know what part of the name is a surname, what part is a forename, and what part is a middle name, and sometimes I can't guess when I'm looking at a name which is which, so it frees them up from having to know things like order. And with corporate bodies especially, not having to be tied to order of terms can lead people to be much more successful, especially when we've got things entered under jurisdiction. They look under Federal Bureau of Investigation. They don't look under United States, period, Federal Bureau of Investigation. But if they've got a keyword and heading search, they don't have to know what the entry terms are. If you're a library that doesn't have huge collections of conference proceedings, you probably don't want to put this on your initial search screen. But if you do, offering people explicitly a keyword search of bibliographic records can help them with these kinds of citations in particular, where people are really lost and they don't know whether what they have is part of a corporate name, part of a title, part of a note, or where it's going to show up in the record. So this is one case where the default search that most systems offer is actually going to maybe be the best default search for conference proceedings. And I think it's important to always offer an other, because there's always going to be someone who's looking for something odd, like a fictitious character or something like that, that they can't guess which pot it goes into, so that you always need an other as an out. Okay, my second probably somewhat controversial recommendation is avoid relevancy ranking. This is really hot, and a lot of systems are pushing it and making it difficult for you to get rid of this as the default search. But it's been my experience with every kind of relevancy ranking that I've seen so far that computers are not built to understand what human beings are looking for, and relevancy ranking is snake oil salesman at work, as far as I'm concerned. Even another human being often can't understand what a person is actually looking for and what they're going to find most useful, so users need to be more in control than these relevancy ranking algorithms allow. I think they're popular because people believe computers are a lot smarter than they actually are, but I think that they're being hoaxed. Make sure the help button is prominently displayed when displaying the result of any search. A lot of my recommendations are for heading searches, but there are going to be times when people need to match across headings, so that what I'm recommending as a default may not work for everyone. Suggest a keyword and record search as a backup search when the default search was a heading search, and suggest that when the user identifies a useful record, that he or she click on hot-linked headings in the record to go to further explore the catalog. A lot of systems are allowing this these days, and this is a very useful way into the catalog. In Voyager, for example, hot-linked headings in the single record display will take them into the authority file where headings are displayed, along with all available subdivisions, as well as access to scope notes and authority records. There are a lot of useful scope notes and subject authority records these days, as well as access to C references that are close to the chosen heading in the alphabet. All of these things may be the key to getting a person away from the thing they started out with and onto what they're actually looking for. Since it's known that subject searchers frequently begin searching at the wrong level of specificity, they look for too narrow a heading or they look for too broad a heading, it would be nice if users were also given access to narrower and broader term see also references, but unfortunately in Voyager they are not, and I think most systems are still not doing that. Since the majority of users are, in most user studies, we see that the majority of users are looking for known works of which both author and title are known, It would be nice if users were given access to all expressions and manifestations of a work through the work identifier. But current systems, including some of the newer, hotter things like the Endeca interface, cannot link on a work identifier that's located in two mark fields. And frequently, our work identifiers are consist of an author in a 1XX field and a title in a 2-4X field. This seems to flummox our software completely, and it can't link on the work identifiers. Now, this is kind of a hobby horse of mine because I work in a preserving film archive, but it's something that led to the development of Ferber and led to, in many ways, a lot of the discontent with the ACR3 that led to RDA was with our inability to create expression-based records and link manifestations together using them. This is a bit of a heretical suggestion, but now that we have the Mark 21 Holdings format, we're doing this at the Film Archive. More and more important organizations are adopting the Mark 21 Holdings format at last, including the Library of Congress, RLG, and even OCLC in a limited fashion. And the merger of RLG and OCLC may push OCLC further along this path of adopting the Mark 21 Holdings record more extensively. Depending on your resources and the severity of the problem of multiple manifestations of the same expression at your institution, I think people should at least be considering local use of the holdings format record for manifestations. For example, a sound recording archive that preserves sound recordings by transferring them to different audio formats, a still image archive that has the same still image on prints, negatives, and various digital formats, or a preserving film archive like ours, where we preserve films by making all kinds of different formats of preprint and then print in order to wind up with the final product. All of those kinds of archives can make life much easier for staff and users alike by describing manifestations in different physical formats on Mark 21 Holdings records attached to a single expression-based bibliographic record. And if you want to see lots of examples, you can go to our website at http://cinema.library.ucla.edu and find lots of examples. Many libraries do this already for microform holdings of serial titles, so there's always been a bit of cheating even in the general library world, and I'll talk more about this does create problems in sharing records, so I'll talk more about that later when we talk about some of the things we can do in our shared catalog environment. Another thing that is very interesting is there are starting to be projects to develop software that overlays interfaces on top of existing online public access catalog software. Endeca is one of several that I've heard of. And for subject access, it can be really helpful to do something like this interface that basically lets people transition from a single retrieved bibliographic record to either a classification search so that they can focus in on a particular discipline, or a controlled vocabulary search that retrieves everything with a given subject heading that appears in the retrieved bibliographic record. And these are very interesting attempts to try to make online catalogs work a little bit better. Okay, those are some of the things that you can do now. Now I want to talk a little bit about what I think are some fundamental misconceptions that system designers have about how catalogs work and how users of catalogs go about what they're actually looking for. Current system design fails in some cases because of these fundamental misconceptions concerning the nature of the records being indexed and displayed and concerning the needs of the users of online public access catalogs. What I consider to be misconception one is that all users need to find a single perfect bibliographic record that fulfills their information need. In my experience, and I have read thousands of user studies trying to figure out where users are going astray. Excuse me. In my experience, most users are looking for one of the following Ferber entities: a particular work of which the author and/or title is known, works on a particular subject, or works of a particular author. And each of these entities are going to be represented in a catalog of any size by many records of many different kinds, including authority records, which contain variant terms for the works, subjects, or authors they look for, multiple bibliographic records for all of the expression manifestations of a work they're looking for, or a work on a sought subject. Even if they start out doing a subject search, there may be multiple expression manifestations of the work that they decide is the one that's useful, as well as the holdings records. The user is not going to achieve optimal results unless the catalog software can deal with complex indexing and with the assemblage of all of these types of records into complex, readily scannable, and well-organized displays. Misconception two: all users need to find a single perfect bibliographic record that The user needs an immediate display of bibliographic records in response to any search. Since, as I argued above, the entities that most users are seeking, works, subjects, and authors, are best represented by headings from authority records, not by an immediate display of bibliographic records, I also disagree with this assumption that a lot of system designers are making. A user's search for a particular work can easily match more than one work, depending on how common the author name is, how common the title is. A search for a subject can easily match more than one subject or be at the wrong level of specificity. A search for an author can easily match more than one author. Catalogs would be much more efficient and effective if the user were first presented with all the works, subjects, or authors that matched their search in the form of headings and cross-references so that they can make selections and narrow the search to the entity of interest first before being given immediate displays of bibliographic records. Misconception three: the best default search is a keyword search of bibliographic records. This approach is nearly universal now in online public catalog interfaces, and in my opinion, it's patronizing and crippling to users. It denies them access to the entities they're actually seeking, works, subjects, and authors, especially when they happen to search using a variant name represented by a cross-reference on an authority record. It assumes that users are incapable of distinguishing between a search for a known work and a search for works on a subject. In my experience, frequent users of libraries are usually more intelligent and resourceful than either librarians or system designers, and they are perfectly capable of wielding the power, the precision, and recall that a system could offer if it would allow the user to specify which words in a search were author words, which were title words, and which were subject words. We need to work harder on designing clean, precise, and non-cryptic catalog interfaces that give users access to this power. Okay, end of sermon, except we are going to move on to the part of the sermon about what needs to change. In the paper, which Ebba assures me is going to go up on the internet, there's a bibliography at the end, which will have citations that will go into much more detail about a lot of these. An hour is really not enough time to go into enough detail about some of these things. But if you're interested and you want to follow up, I urge you to go to some of the things cited in the bibliography for a lot more context for a lot of this. But some of the things that I think need to change in existing OPAC software, starting with indexing, it seems to me that because the entities people are looking for tend to be represented by multiple records, that we need systems that are cleverer, more intelligent about clumping these records together and then doing the keyword searches within the clumps that represent the entities, the author entity, the work entity, the subject entity. For example, the work clump needs to include full title or name title authority records, including all of the cross-references, And that includes the linked name authority records, because let us not forget that our practice for hundreds of years has been to identify works of single personal authorship using both the author and the title. And people often come in with citations that use the author and the title, and they may have a variant of the author name as well as a variant of the title in their work search. So we're not just talking about the title parts of the authority records. We need to have access to the name parts of the authority records as well. We also need access to linked bibliographic records, and we need access to variant titles. We have not done a very clean job of separating our variant titles from bib records to authority records. So some variant titles are going to be found in authority records, and some variant titles are going to be found only in bibliographic records. This makes this process of building a work clump even more complicated. For the author or corporate body clump, for the works of an author or the works of a body, we need to remember that there are linked authority records. There are authors that write under pseudonyms like Mark Twain and Samuel Clemens, or there are corporate bodies that have changed their names or have subdivisions in their earlier and later names. So variants might be across one of those name changes, and we need smarter software that recognizes these kinds of relationships among authority records. The subject clump needs to include the cross-references on authority records, and it needs to recognize the hierarchical relationship between a main heading and its subdivisions, because the cross-references to the main heading are only going to be on the main heading, but if someone does a search that matches on a variant plus a subdivision, it shouldn't be allowed to fail. That was indexing. Now, some of the things that we need to change about display, we really ought to be making more of an effort to display context from authority records, including scope notes, broader and narrower term references, and earlier and later name references. We really need to create displays that allow users to include or exclude the following based on the existing Mark 21 tagging that differentiates expressions of the work itself, including expressions contained in other works that might be in the form of analytical added entries, from works about the work and works related to the work, like a motion picture that's based on a novel. Ebba actually mentioned this earlier. This is the website for the principles for the display of cataloger-created metadata. This is a huge document. It's got 18 general display principles, 6 heading display principles, 2 name heading display principles, 3 work heading, 1 subject heading, 1 classification, 1 multiple bibliographic record principle, and 4 single bibliographic record principles. There isn't time this morning to go through all of them, and I'm kind of doing a trailer for the motion picture on TV this morning. I'm just going to run through some of them, not all of them, and they're going to seem sort of cryptic because they're lacking all of the disquisition and the examples that are in this document on the web. So I really encourage you, if you are intrigued by any of these principles and you're not sure what they mean, to go to this document where it should be a lot clearer with the examples and things. But I wanted to at least give you a taste of it so that I encourage people to go and find out more about it. General Principle 1, OPAC displays must be designed to serve the functions of the catalog. And we looked at those function cutters and the Paris Principles functions earlier. General Principle 2, effective and efficient displays of large retrievals should be available. Don't plan for every display to be a single bibliographic record display. You need to show people a lot of records that match their search in good, efficient displays. Display what was searched. Seems sort of self-evident, but you'd be surprised how many systems don't display what was searched because they're artificially cropping the displays. emphasize the author, the corporate body, the work, the subject, or the other search terms that were sought in the resultant display. Make those prominent in the resultant display. Highlight the terms match. Now, this is something that actually most, a lot of existing systems are doing. So by putting my entire document under what needs to change, I've kind of, the logic has escaped a little bit. So there are a few things that I recommend that you actually can do now. It's just that a lot of them you can't do yet. Treat display, sorting, and indexing as separate and independent functions. This is a little bit cryptic, but if you look at the document, I think you'll start to see why. See that a lot of difficulties we're having now are because existing systems aren't treating these as separate and independent functions, and see some reasons why they need to be treated that way. Respect filing indicators and symbols, and this is imperfectly done in existing systems. Even though these are national and international standards, they're still ignored by a lot of existing systems. The order for sorting of headings or records should be based on the languages of the catalog. We're a long way from dealing with multiple languages. The Unicode is coming, and we're starting to wrestle with it, but we have lots of remaining problems to solve in our online catalogs that have to do with different needs of different language-speaking communities. Provide compact summary displays. Most existing systems do a terrible job at this. I get so frustrated with having to scan through much too elaborate displays. It could be much better compressed so you could see more on a screen and go through your 10,000 records you retrieved a lot faster than you can right now. Provide logical compression, and that's another way of letting people scan through large results more quickly and make decisions about which entities are the ones they're looking for. Avoid repetition of the same heading or bibliographic record in a single display. Create a zero results display that can help a user reformulate a search if necessary. Preserve punctuation and case as set by catalogers in all displays. We're just now getting Voyager to finally clean up their act in this regard, and I've seen other systems really mess up displays by deciding to do something else other than use the punctuation and case that we've set for headings especially. Those are some of the general principles. There are some more, but these are kind of the most important or the biggest ones. And I'm not going to go into some of the detailed recommendations for name headings in particular and subject headings in particular, but there are some general heading principles. One is another statement of something I said earlier. The following are usually better represented by a list of headings than by an immediate display of bibliographic records: a particular author or corporate body, a particular work, or a particular subject in either alphabetical or classified array. I haven't persuaded any system designers of this principle yet. Integrate cross-references in displays. Respect sorting elements. An example of a sorting element that is ignored by all existing systems to the detriment of users, I think, are parenthetical qualifiers and headings. Those should always be treated as secondary sorting elements, but they never are, and so we end up with a big mess in our displays. Never arbitrarily truncate a heading or a sorting element for either sorting or display in uncompressed displays. Provide a default, easily scannable, logical sort in every display of two or more headings or bibliographic records, for that matter. maintain an attachment between a heading and the bibliographic records that contain it. Again, this is something that most existing systems are doing, so I shouldn't really have it under what needs to change. It's just that most of these things aren't being done yet. And then for single bibliographic record displays, display the fields and subfields in the order set by the cataloger. This is so frequently ignored. Use the ISBDs as international display standards. Almost never done. Supply punctuation and text when called for by the standards. For example, there are times when ISBD punctuation ought to be supplied and it's not being, and there are times when Mark 21 display constants ought to be supplied by the system and they aren't. So we still aren't following our national and international standards a lot of times. This is one that's usually ignored. Make the default single record display the full display. The cataloger has already made the most concise possible record to identify and distinguish the different expressions of the work that the work identifier represents at the top of the record. For the computer to arbitrarily truncate that display causes all kinds of problems. People do a search and they can't see the fields they matched on. They miss important notes about bibliographic history. The system people should keep their hands off the single record display, show people the full record. If they want to, for an option, create a truncated display, let them do it as an option, but not as the default. And this is a recommendation rather than a principle, but this gets me into a lot of hot water with systems people who love being able to label bibliographic record displays. But just about every field in the MARC format has information in it that cannot be easily labeled. People can recognize what it is. People who use catalogs are not dummies. They recognize, they can read a bibliographic record without your putting labels up. And if you put labels up that are inaccurate about what's contained in the field, it takes up screen space and is very confusing. It's better just to leave the data unlabeled. There are other catalogers who agree with this, but not very many system designers who ever agree with it. Okay, so that's a quick run-through of some of the principles that are in that document that's on the web, but I urge you to take a look at it because there's a lot more there, including a lot of examples that illuminate these somewhat cryptic principles. But let's look at some of the things that maybe we need to change about cataloging practice. One of the most neglected areas of cataloging practice is use of work identifiers and uniform title rules, which are a key part of the work identifier. I really think if we want to serve users who are looking for known works in larger and larger collections of bibliographic data where there are more and more likely to be many manifestations and expressions of the work they're looking for, that it's time to make uniform title rules mandatory and not optional. For any work that exists in more than one manifestation or expression, we need to create an authority-controlled work identifier. That is, if it's a work of single personal authorship, the personal author plus the uniform title, if the work exists in more than one manifestation or expression. Catalog use studies have shown over and over that the most common search in research libraries is for a known work of which both author and title are known, and it reflects poorly on our profession that we've neglected the infrastructure necessary to ensure that the most common search done by our users is efficient and effective. If we were more careful in practice with our work identifiers, it would be possible for catalog software like Indeca to lead users to all expressions of a work from a single record display for one of the expressions. A plea. The other part of cataloging practice that I hope we can think about in this rapidly changing world of ours is whether we can improve our cataloging, have better work identification and better authority control if we think about ways to change the way we do shared cataloging. Is there some way we could use the internet as a tool in order to conceptualize and implement a virtual single catalog in which we can change a heading for a work, an author, or a subject once, such that the change immediately appears everywhere for all users, so that any experienced and educated cataloger can go into the virtual shared catalog and change that heading for everyone everywhere one time without that. Right now, most research libraries have catalogs that are under poor authority control because they lack the resources to go in and change all the records that need changing. Although people are starting to develop methods of sending records out and getting them cleaned up and stuff, but we're expending a lot of resources on this, on multiple thousands and thousands of catalogs all over the world. If we are globalizing, can we globalize authority control so that we can do it more efficiently? And finally, I'm urging, and I talked about this a little bit earlier too, that we allow institutions the option to describe manifestations on holdings records attached to expression-based bibliographic records, and then don't prevent the sharing of these records. At least allow special collections and archives to do this, because it's desperately needed, and we've been asking for it for 20 years without being able to get standards in place that actually allow it. Okay, those are my three suggestions for some rather major changes in approach to cataloging practice. I think it's possible that in the next few years we might have an opportunity to start taking an overall view of Mark 21 too, and asking what parts of it need to be carried forward and into the future, and what parts of it maybe we could change. One of the things that I think we need to think about is whether the current approach to the object of these various kinds of records is really the right approach for the future. Right now, I would say that the object of, the record that most closely represents work in Ferber terms is an authority record that contains a work identifier, a name and a title. Right now, the bibliographic record could represent either an expression or a manifestation, and no one, including a lot of times the cataloger, can tell which it represents. And the holdings record, sometimes when people cheat and put microfilm holdings for serials on the record with the paper, for example, sometimes the holdings record represents a manifestation. If we migrate our Mark 21 data to, say, some future version of XML, maybe that would be a time we could start talking about whether these objects of record, these approaches to what the object of each of these kinds of records is, still need to be maintained. They're based on current publication practice. Users may be looking for works, but publishers publish manifestations, and libraries purchase and inventory control manifestations. So in truth, in current catalogs, the manifestation rules, not the work. But will this change as more and more publications gravitate to the internet? Will there continue to be as many manifestations to control? My guess is probably, because we're going to continue to be human beings, so we're probably going to scatter different manifestations and expressions of the same work all over the internet the way we have scattered them throughout our libraries. It is possible that digital manifestations could be compared digitally in order to tell whether there are actual underlying changes, which we've never been able to do up until now. But I think there's probably always going to be a need, if users are really going to be continue to be offered the opportunity to see all the expressions and manifestations of a work, there's still going to be a need to pull them together under some kind of a work identifier. But maybe we can do it in a different way than creating single bibliographic records for each physical manifestation published by a publisher if the way things are published changes. Another thing we need to consider about the MARC format is whether right now we separate normalization from transcription when we're dealing with names and when we're dealing with subjects. We transcribe names, for example, in the $245 C subfield, but we normalize them in 700 fields. We informally describe subjects if we're writing a summary note in the 520, but we normalize the subject headings in 6XX fields. But we have not cleanly separated the transcription of titles from the normalization of titles. We have a lot of our work identifiers are found in 245 transcribed fields, and this has made it very difficult for systems to manage. So if we made major changes to the MARC format, maybe we could consider cleaning this up a bit. And this is my very last suggestion. Consider putting all normalized work identifiers into single fields, including the current 1XX245 and 1XX240 two-field work identifier combinations, so that existing systems can link on single-field work identifiers to assemble expressions and manifestations. So that's a lot of radical changing I'm suggesting, and I hope that gives you some things to think about. And thank you very much for your patience in listening to a rather dense hour of disquisition.